This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I'm Barbara Gray, and if you're not prepared to hold me as we watch the impending mushroom cloud approach, swipe left.
I'm Brandi Posey, and hear me out. Let's drop Andy Dick in the middle of the Rose Garden and see what happens.
Ooh. I'm Tess Barker, and I wouldn't trust Steve Bannon to run a Yoshinoya.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
She recognized. We got for everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
That's Zach Ames, everybody.
Oh, Zach.
God, David's just fucking up.
David's throwing a stone
piano
over the place.
Get it together.
That's Zach Ames, who was also on the Andrew DeWitt podcast, who's been on our show before. I just did that the other day. Check that out. It's
that
fun.
That show's fun.
Yeah.
It's a good podcast.
Yeah. And also, Zach Ames just got a new dog.
He did. He invited me to come do the podcast, and then he said the dog is there, and I was like, well, that definitely took the scales in your favor.
Deal's a deal.
It was wearing a hoodie. It was a great dog.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I'm really into it. A couple of plugs at the top of the show. So obviously you guys might picture this pilot taping got moved to March 2nd at the Actors Company. Find me online. That's in Los Angeles. So if
find me online.
Find me online. I'll have all those details. We'll be pushing it. It won't get moved again. And also the next day I am flying to Gainesville, Florida to headline the Changeville Festival, which is pretty cool. In Gainesville, Florida, and Big Freedia is like headlining on the music stage, and I'm headlining on the comedy.
That's awesome. Wait, what is it? Is it like a festival for?
Yeah, it's
is
being
it
put
a charity
on,
thing.
Yeah, it's being put on by the University of Florida, and it's like a socially conscious festival, like featuring a bunch of really awesome people and acts and stuff.
And it's in what state?
Florida.
Wow.
Gainesville, Rock City, baby.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Go check that out.
It's going to be really fun. Tickets are like $8, but if you pay $15, you can do a meet and greet with me.
Yes.
Wow.
Meet and greet like Brandy.
Nobody's going to buy those tickets.
Oh yes, they are.
Please come meet and greet me.
Please.
So it's not embarrassing.
Remember how many people tried to get the auction off thing to be on?
Oh, you're going to bring that up.
Oh, never bring it up.
Why did you have to bring that up? I want to say 6 months.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
yeah.
Long.
Yeah, not long.
We have to pay $15 every time we hang out with Brandy. I don't think that's that unreasonable.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it.
My Venmo is very busy.
And I'm in Salt Lake City on March 9th, 10th, and 11th. I'm headlining a show on March 9th for the Golden Spike Comedy Festival. Come see me. That's
it. I'll probably be in LA. Follow me on Twitter. I usually retweet when I have shows.
Yeah. I'll follow us all on Twitter also. Yeah. We do our shows and
Tess can't leave town because she's working on one of the best TV shows on TV right now.
Oh, yeah. Watch Throwing Shade.
Throwing Shade.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Speaking of throwing shit,
Our guest this week is really awesome. She's running for city council here in Los Angeles in District 13, which covers the Hollywood, Silver Lake, Echo Park region of LA. Today is her birthday, and she has a debate tonight in Los Angeles. Big deal, Jessica Salins.
Hey, what's up?
Yes, the children are here. They support you.
Sounds like all the Annie orphans.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it only sound like that if they said my line from Annie, which we know and love
Nope. What are you guys?
Wait, I feel like I do know your line from Annie.
Not that I'm pretty sure. Guys...
I want some more.
Yes, is that
from
Annie?
That's from all of her.
It might as well be.
It might as well.
I was trolling.
Yeah. Yeah, she was trolling. She knew. No, my line from Annie when I didn't get cast as Annie.
Wait.
I... Were you Duffy?
I don't know the name. But she just goes. She just goes, Pepper. We ain't never going to get out of this dump. That was my only line.
I have heard that line before.
Yeah, I've said it. I've said it.
Did you say it with a southern accent?
Yes, pretty much. I huff my way up to the stage and make as much of a big deal about it as possible.
When you only have one line, they make that mistake by putting people like us in the one line.
Yeah.
Because
don't do that.
No, I was in a production of Oliver and I had a line and it was at the very end and I walk up and my line is... It's Nancy. He murdered Nancy. You bet your ass I took a full minute to get up there, stop, flail, scream, look down. I mean, it was really the highlight of the
You're
show.
Just raising the stakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
exactly. Were you ever in Oliver?
I was never in Oliver, but I was in Annie and Starmites and Grease when I was 10 years old, which is totally inappropriate.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Who were you in Grease?
I was just an ensemble member. It was like me and another
Did they have to cut
boy.
Out like everything?
No, they did everything.
You guys did the abortion stuff?
What part is that? Oh, the whole thing. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, I didn't know what it was.
Children singing Pussy Wagon before their balls drop is a hell of a thing.
It is.
So you're running for office. I'm sorry I said that on your episode.
No, it's great. Right?
I'm trying
Pussy Grabs Back is like the tagline.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get in the Pussy Wagon.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the edited version of that was, because when I would see it on TV, it would be like, yeah, she's a real party wagon or something like dumb like that.
Yeah, maybe I think I had a VHS from TV and I don't remember Pussy Wagon.
It's in Grease Lightning, like she's a real pussy
wagon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's about, they're calling Grease Wagon the pussy.
Grease Wagon's just a very sexual song.
It's a very sexual song.
It's not even sexual.
I mean, Kinnicky.
Yeah.
Come on.
Of course you have a boner for Kinnicky.
Of course.
No.
So hot.
No,
don't think of Jeff Conaway either. I'm being like sad and on Celebrity Rehab.
No, it wasn't. I never liked him.
It got real bad, you guys.
Yeah.
You didn't like Kinnicky?
No, I liked the real goofy one. The like kind of like wiry goofy one.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There were a few of them. You mean the Duty who ended up with Frenchie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was cute.
He was my favorite.
So sweet. I'm sorry, straight up Danny though. It doesn't get hotter than
Danny's
Danny.
Hot as hell. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. But don't think about like Scientology Don Travolta. Think about
I know. I know.
Danny.
You know what it was?
Yeah, you can't. It's too really you can't not fuse the
You know what it was? My mom really liked John Travolta, and I like couldn't have a crush on the same guy as my mom. It felt incestuous.
Yeah, I get it.
But my mom loved Johnny Depp, and I'm right there.
Really?
Still?
Yeah. Well,
still on the Depp train?
Sure.
Really?
Do you ever get off the Depp train?
I'm off.
I'm a little bit off.
Was it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Do you know about like the Amber Heard stuff?
Oh, you know, I don't pay attention to that stuff, but now that you're saying it, I do. Yeah, fuck
Yeah.
Plus, he
became the Adam Sandler of whimsy for a while, where he was just doing a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah,
he did a lot of bullshit.
He was like probably my most long-standing crush for a long time, though. Like there,
because
he was hot in 21 Jump Street,
mm-hmm.
and then. Before Pirates of the Caribbean became a bunch of sequels, seeing Johnny Depp as a pirate was novel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. We had like Chocolat and everything.
Oh, Chocolat's that one's my favorite movie.
Beautiful.
That whole movie, that is sexy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really play into his strengths in that one.
Remember that movie, like Water for Chocolate? That was a good movie, too.
It's a great movie.
What about other chocolate movies?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, right.
Only the original, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell were they doing in the remake?
Making bad choices.
Which Charlie and the Chocolate Factory character are you guys? If you had to be one.
Oh, Veruca.
Yeah. You just knew.
I mean, I think we're all really all of them, probably. But
yeah, we probably are all of them, but I think you're predominantly,
I'm definitely Veruca.
Yeah, you're
Veruca
for sure.
Yeah.
That might be Veruca.
I might be Grandpa Joe.
Like, can totally see that.
I mean, I was just at the Medi-Cal office dressed exactly as an old man at the Medi-Cal office.
I have to do that.
Yeah.
At Medi-Cal.
Pretty great. Yeah. I loved it. I hope you don't have the same experience I did where I like was on my phone and then I looked up and there was an old man wearing the exact same thing that I was wearing. We had the same exact same colored flannel. We both had like black sweatpants on.
God.
It was, and like my hair was like silver at the time and he had like long silver hair. And I was like, oh, that's, and then he turned around, saw me and then ran away from me.
It's amazing.
Like we both knew. We both knew.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you feel good or bad about it?
I mean, I like
feel kind of good.
I mean, yeah. I felt like I was living my best life in that moment.
No, absolutely. I mean, like, yeah. No one's living their best life like an old man in public.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, cool, this is where I'm at. I'm dressing like an old man in public.
Yeah.
We're both at the Medi-Cal office, just getting our benefits.
It just shows that Medi-Cal is really for everyone.
Absolutely. Exactly.
You guys were like a living Medi-Cal commercial.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You really were. Like the split screen of both of you walking up.
Well, the weird part is it's the most popular photo I've ever had on Instagram. Like to the point now that I feel like people are making fun of me. Like there's
really it had that much heat.
It's like almost 700 likes on it.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow. What? Thanks. But
wow.
This came out of nowhere.
People are very supportive of healthcare in general, I feel. So when you,
yeah. That's probably true.
Maybe. That's true. But also it is funny.
You know, it is funny.
All right, bad thing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it more likes than any of my women's part March pictures.
Damn.
Me and this old man.
You never know what the algorithm's gonna like.
I know.
Some pictures you're like, what? Really? That was the one? Okay.
Yeah, took
that's
off.
True.
Yeah.
Took off feeling good about it.
You guys probably saw the insane picture I posted earlier today.
I thought you looked
covered
great.
In makeup. Yeah. Beautiful.
Really good.
This guy did message me. He was like, you're beautiful. And I was like, really? From that? Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I forgot forever ago. I was doing that, happiness sparking joy thing where I was cleaning out everything.
We both condoed.
Yeah. Yeah. We condoed. Did you,
have you done this?
You're supposed to like get rid of everything that doesn't spark joy in your life. It didn't last.
Oh yeah. But you touch it and if it doesn't bring you joy, you throw it out.
But it takes forever because you have to touch
Japanese
each
book,
thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The life changing joy of I always tidying get the title
up.
Wrong.
It's hard. Yeah. It's
too long.
The life changing magic of tidying up or something like that.
Yeah.
But so that picture was from that because I went through all my makeup and that was all the makeup I was getting rid of. So I put it all on at once. Because I was just like, well, let's
why not?
See how this is. I was filming a video that I never ended up putting out and that was why I did it. But I just was like, look, oh, I was trying to find like a drunk picture of myself and I was like, well, this needs to see the internet today. But it's absolutely nuts. And then some fucking idiot dude I don't know sent me like a message to come to his Bringer show. And I'm so mad that I just didn't respond with that question.
Yeah.
That picture, because I have like a cross on my forehead and I have Y written on my chin backwards. That's just going to be my response to creeps forever now. Just like,
yeah,
there you go.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
That does inspire me though. I want to do that where I put all the makeup I'm going to throw away on.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was, you know, and then like taking it off is like very
cathartic.
Yeah.
Cathartic. Mm.
Yeah. I makeup hoard for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to. I go through phases and then I'll be like, no, you can't buy anything until you go through it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I never have that kind of control.
Try to get through it. Although like, how often are you supposed to buy mascara? Like what is like the rule
of expiration?
6 months or something.
It's not very long. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like,
but you're fine. Like nothing's happened, right?
Yeah. It's all bullshit.
None of us
still have your eyelashes.
Yeah.
They're still there. They're long and voluptuous.
I feel like all that, a lot of that shit's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like, hot makeup tip, but I feel like mascara almost is like wine, where like it hits a point where it ages, where it kind of hits its like peak.
Yeah.
Where it's like
perfectly
clumpy. Yeah.
Nice age. Yeah. Like mascara. A fine age.
Colossal
Maybelline.
Volume Maybelline. Something.
Notes of chemicals in here. Can't tell them apart. That's amazing.
Tess sent me a really great article that I appreciated recently that was all about being dirty and being fine with it.
Yeah.
And it was really enlightening because at the time I had a growing mound of pistachio shells next to my bed on the floor. Oh, and I was like, I feel great about this.
I knew you would appreciate that because it was just like, yeah, guess what? Now you can focus on other shit. And we're like, yeah, that's what we've been saying the whole time.
Yeah, it was. And I don't necessarily think they were talking about
not throwing away stuff.
No, pistachio shells are not. They, and also, okay. This was like a few days. Those don't get gross. It's like, it's a nut outside. Yeah. Right. I don't think a pistachio shell, it's not like a banana peel.
It's not an emergency.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it like
yeah.
a flavored pistachio? Did it have something that would attract bugs?
No, no.
Okay.
This right. was not, it was fine. Right. I'm not leaving shit around my bed that attracts bugs, Brandy. I'm 33. I at least have that down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Give me a break.
You have an unflavored pile of pistachio shells next to your bed. I'm sorry.
Yes. I at I least assumed. Know what not to leave out to attract bugs at this stage.
Whoa, put that on your resume.
Absolutely. Jessica, when's the last time you attracted bugs?
we all evolved.
I can't even say that much about myself. You know, every once in a while, I'll leave open a bottle of like wine.
Right. Yeah. You might have like a cup that gets some shit.
Yeah.
Usually the fruit fly, I've drastically reduced any fruit fly situation in the house because, you know, that fruit basket's like, gotta freshen up.
So true.
That's my advice for the day. You can use that in your campaign. Yeah, feel free.
I'll take it. I should employ that with my car because there's some odor that's happening. You know, when you start living out of your car and then you start eating out of your car and then one day you smell something, you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And what's the source?
Yeah.
And that's a horrible feeling.
It's hard to find the source. Because it is. It's a medley of like many days of like just using your car as your purse and your locker room.
Yes.
Yeah. When you start like looking at people in the mirror to be like, are they smelling something? Is it just me? Or are they smelling it too? Is it? I don't know.
Thank God we have them though. Like I think
cars.
Yeah. Purses? Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about like living in New York or something because like just I love like my little like okay, this is my little like room. I get to move from place to place.
It's real.
No one gets to experience this.
Yeah. It's my favorite place to make a mess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the bugs in there in my car. Those are another story.
That's what I was mostly talking about with bugs.
Hey, you know they're. You're giving them Uber rides everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You're paying.
Lyft.
Yeah, of course. Take a Lyft everywhere.
Now, Jessica, we mentioned you are running for office. You're running for city council of LA. I don't know. Like, we keep being disgusting. I'm trying to gracefully, you know, carry strug us out of this.
Please,
broken ankle and all. I'm hobbling to land this.
Such a good reference.
Jessica, you're running for city council for LA District 13, which is Hollywood, Silver Lake, and Echo Park. That's in the March 7th election if you live in LA, you guys. Yeah. What made you like decide to run for office?
I went crazy. I volunteered a lot of hours for Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. He really woke me up. There was a debate where he said the greatest national security threat was climate change. He was the only person in my lifetime I've heard say that. And I was like, all right, I'm throwing it down for this guy. And so did a lot of work for that. When he finally lost California, I was like, I couldn't go back to sleep. So how do we continue this political revolution forward? I was really distressed by the two-party system. I felt like they failed us. Mm-hmm. Especially what came out about the DNC and sort of just like them colluding with the media against Bernie and whatever movement a lot of people were trying to be a part of. And but local city council in Los Angeles can be undeclared. And so I looked at who my council person was and I saw the way that he spoke about homelessness, which was that we have to clean up our streets, not about like we need to take care of human beings. And I decided to run. And so that was early July, and it's just grown. It's been insane the amount of growth that has taken place over the last couple of months.
So how did you were kind of like starting from square one, like you had no, how did you like even teach yourself how to do what you needed to do to like run for office?
Well, so I have a background as a theater director and producer. And so it was really about just creating a team because like I can't do it alone. And like in theater, there's a stage manager, there's, you know, the director, there's the actors, there's the scenic people, there's music, you know, all those different roles. You just find the roles that you need to fill and find the people with the skills to fulfill it. And then you get rolling.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and like it is evolved and we have changed a lot. And when things aren't working, we try something else. But bottom line, like we're there to get shit done. Like one of my biggest problems right now and for a lot of people is that like there's a lot of infighting and drama that's happening. And we have so much work to do that I'm all about getting to the bottom line and the goal and whatever else is happening. Like we just need to tunnel focus in on that.
You mean infighting happening where?
Well, in the progressive movement, actually. Right, there's okay. a lot of sort of infighting, or even between like Hillary versus Bernie versus yeah. Greens, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know what? We mm-hmm. all want the same things, actually. And that's what's so wonderful about working at the local level, too, because even conservatives, like mm-hmm. they want affordable housing. They don't want to see homeless on our street, you know, and then it's our job to sort of facilitate that discussion, because you can get a lot of people that talk about it as riffraff or vagrants or blight on the street. And so it's our job to facilitate that conversation, to say we have to take care of people. Obviously, these people don't want to be on the streets. What can we do to support them mm-hmm. and get them housing and mental care and all that stuff?
Yeah, that has been a big thing that I think all of us have experienced is like the infighting on the progressive side, where it's like, we all want to work together, but, you know, everyone has a lot of different interests. Everyone is very outspoken, especially with the internet. Everyone's opinion is like mm-hmm. thrown together there all the time, when you're like, hopefully we can all come together collectively to slay the dragon, if yeah. you will. Yeah.
Well, and it's great that you're running too, because I think so much, like, for the right for a long time really did kind of focus in on these like little races, like on the local level, and have kind of been building this for a long time. And like the left has always kind of looked nationally. Mm-hmm. So it's like great to see people kind of like wanting to look in the local level again and like starting to build in the same way.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, now we're really calling out for volunteers to like get boots on the ground and go door to door canvassing, old school stuff, phone banking. And these things are like not super sexy, you know, mm-hmm. like it's a lot easier to like yell at your congressional representatives or like talk about those big issues. But the thing that's amazing is that we have so much power locally where we can actually break Trump's promises. Los Angeles, California has such an mm-hmm. opportunity. And now that we have a Trump presidency, like real fascism, we have such an opportunity to call into account all the other bullshit that's been happening with like corporate Dems taking big amounts of money from big pharmaceutical companies or from corrupted banks or from the private prison industry, or like even Governor Jerry Brown is mm-hmm. not a green governor. You know, we've got fracking in California still. There's locally in Los Angeles, there's Aliso Canyon, which was the biggest mm-hmm. methane gas blowout that's ever happened in the United States history. And they're still trying to reopen it. And Jerry Brown's sister sits on the board of Sempra Gas, which is the company that like watches over that facility. And it's like, we can't do that anymore, you guys. And yeah. so, and we have the opportunity to call them out, yeah. you know, and really hold a higher standard. And that's what's really exciting.
So that's what kind of like power do we have in terms of like looking at being a sanctuary city? And like, if like, what kind of power does the mayor have? And what kind of power do we have as a city to like protect the people that live here from the Trump administration?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's one of our defining platforms, is like broadening and expanding what sanctuary city means and then creating actionables. So we actually have a Latino liaison who is talking with nonprofit organizations that deal with Latino worker rights. And we're defining like, what can we do to protect people? Los Angeles City, like bless them, passed the LA Defense Fund, which gives $10 million for undocumented people when they go up on trial, because before they weren't guaranteed a lawyer. But now the city and the county is funding that, which is so great, because not only is it the humane choice to make, but economically, it actually saves us money. And I actually prefer to, I prefer to talk about it in the human level of like taking care of people, but a lot of people revert back to the economics of it, but it's economically sound as well. So other things that I'd like to see done that, you know, we haven't super dug into, there's a lot that we're learning, but I'd really like to make residents who are immigrants be able to vote in municipal elections. I'd like to be able to give them like some kind of, you know, resident identification where they can go vote and hold power, because they pay taxes. Their kids go to school here. You know, they should be able to have power. Another thing that we'd really like to do is create language justice. So like, if people want to learn English, we have a place for that, but also have people learn Spanish or Armenian or Thai or Korean, so that, you know, we are an immigrant nation, and unfortunately we haven't really embraced that as Americans. And I think one way that we could really embrace it is by starting to learn the languages of the people around us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Tess is taking Spanish lessons, and it's like
Duolingo.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I do Duolingo, and then I also do something called the Pimsleur method, which is kind of like the Rosetta Stone. Cool. I actually really recommend it. If you have an Audible subscription, they have it.
Nice.
But yeah, they're just like half hour lessons that you do every day, and it's just like conversations, and they, so like it forces you to respond Like Duolingo I like, but it's not enough to like learn a language, I don't
totally
think.
Yeah, because you have to be conversational about it to really learn it, right?
Yeah, and it's just, yeah, and like this Pimsleur thing, it's more like it's your brain picks it up in the same way that it would if you were living somewhere and talking to people in Spanish.
Right.
Yeah, and then I also like, I feel like it's so cool living in LA because I feel like I just have like built-in Spanish lessons everywhere. It's like there's newspapers in Spanish. Like there's always like people you can talk to or like.
Yeah, I mean, La Pinon is one of the biggest newspapers.
La Pinon is great.
And
yeah.
Their recommendations for at least the election in November, more people voted in favor of what they went for than the LA Times.
Wow.
So it just goes to show the amount of power that we have.
I will say too. Yeah, I read La Pinon a lot to like just practice my Spanish. And it's really like upsetting. The cover, just to see like the perspective of the Latino community, like how horribly everyone's being treated, like, and just like the articles are about like, we're just asking for dignity, how can we help immigrants in our city, and it's like, fucking fuck you people that are doing this to Mexican people, like fuck you.
Yeah, I remember I was at the like bakery down the street from my house reading maybe that newspaper, I'm not sure, but a newspaper in Spanish after the election. And I can't read Spanish very well, but a little bit, obviously. And it was just like an article about how the children were scared in school. And I was just like,
teachers did such overtime after the election.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. I mean, and that's another thing that we can do that we're actually working on this right now. We've reached out to Latino organizations and we're creating pamphlets for, I don't know if you guys know about the neighborhood councils, but in Los Angeles, each little area has its own neighborhood council. Mm-hmm. And they have budgets of like $42,000 a year, even though they're volunteer boards. But great people serve on those boards. And so what we want to do is empower them to create a Latino outreach committee or immigrant committee so that they can give people these resources, because so much of it is like, here's where you go if you're facing hardship. Like, we've got your back. Like, contact us. We're here for you. We care about you. And I think, especially in District 13, the residents know what the problems are and know how to solve them. But what we don't have right now is a council person who is empowering them. And that's what I got from Bernie Sanders, is like, he made me realize that I had a power to claim. And I feel like all of us feel so nervous and don't really know which direction to go in. But we have such good ideas and we just need someone to validate those ideas. Say like, yeah, you know what you're doing. Go do it. And then like actively support it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll be back.
Great. Was that was amazing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Jessica Salins.
What's up, guys?
Yeah. So we know you have a big debate tonight in Los Angeles.
That's right.
Also, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Do you know where it is if people are listening and they live in LA and they want to come?
It's done by the Hollywood United Neighborhood Council and it's at the American Legion Hall, 2035 North Highland Avenue, and it starts at 5 p.m.
Cool. Awesome. So to get you prepped, we found a...
How are we going to do this? Are we going to debate her?
I guess.
Okay.
I didn't think that far.
We could do two on two or something. I haven't even looked at what this is.
Yeah. So these are funny topics for high school students. These are debates, funny topics of debate for high school students to get into. Okay. Let's see. Number one. Are UFOs a hoax? Jessica, you have the floor.
Oh, no. I mean, listen, I don't know. Did you guys read WikiLeaks? Did you guys read the Podesta emails?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my God.
There's, like, stuff in there about UFOs. And I've got this great friend, Ben, who, like, has kept up on all of it. And, like,
oh, that's awesome. Everybody needs that friend.
Everyone needs that friend. And he's great. And he's super supportive. But, like, and so I'd always go to Ben's page and be like, what's happening now? What's happening now? Because that's like, during the Hillary and Trump stuff. And I was like, I'm just going to read about John Podesta and extraterrestrials. I don't know. It's interesting. I wouldn't put it past our government to hide things like that from ourselves. I mean, look, man, like, X-Files, like, you got to wonder, is that stuff made up or is like there's some truth to it.
Yeah,
there's always some truth to fiction.
There's some truth, and you know, it's out there, guys.
Ah, point for Barbara.
That was a way bigger laugh than that deserved, but thank you. Are we on the, yeah, are they real? I don't know. Sure, why not?
I mean, probably.
Yeah. Right. I hope they're like a rival, though. You know, yeah. Like, they were so nice, mm-hmm. Abbott and Costello.
I would like to think they're real, you know. I bet you we've had something, but they just like, people aren't ready for it, man. You know
why don't
I, mean?
I believe in them at all?
Really?
Do you not believe in there being any life on any other planet?
I do is the funny thing, but I don't believe in, like, I want to believe.
You're halfway there.
Oh, boy. No, I get it. I mean, I do think, yeah, it's a lot of, like, far-fetched stuff that I think is, like, exciting, obviously, to mm-hmm. think about that, you know, the government would be covering up.
But. It's like, I do totally think the government would cover it up. I do think crazy things happen. It's, like, weird. Like, I believe in other dimensions and shit, but for some reason, every time I hear about an alien, I'm like, meh.
Do you think because, like, that would make it too real? If you let yourself go there?
No, I really want to believe.
I feel like we already live with aliens because there's like dogs and cats and they like, I feel like they're weird. I just feel like I live with an alien.
Totally.
Yeah. I do look at my dogs sometimes and I'm like,
oh, you're such an alien.
Are you real? What's really happening?
Yeah,
outside?
It's just like, what is going on?
Because they are like a foreign species that we're just on the same planet with. I love animals so much.
I posted this picture, but I was driving and my phone had died and I saw the three dogs heads out of one car.
Spectacular picture.
Yeah. And then on the other side, there were like eight dogs in the back of this guy's car. So on either side, there were three dogs sticking their heads out. And I was like, I have to take a picture of this. And all I have was my computer photo booth. So I very unsafely drove and held up my laptop and took a picture of this guy's dogs. But you know what? Worth it.
But you were still being safer than the guy who had eight labs in his car.
What the hell? I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Those were big ones. That guy's an alien.
Yeah.
That guy is an alien. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. He thinks that our currency is dogs. And he's just running around. I'm paying for Slurpees in it.
Going to 7-Eleven and handing over three Labradors.
Doesn't a Slurpee seem like something an alien would think we live off of, like in an old movie or like an 80s like SNL?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Coneheads. Like,
absolutely.
We live off of Slurpees.
Or even like Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah. Oh, Third
Rock.
Or
the movie
from
with Marlon. Robin Williams when he's not the movie but the show.
Oh, Mork-a-Mindy.
Mork-a-Mindy. Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like a weird. thing. Mm-hmm. Shout out to French Stewart.
He's a friend of the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this one. Vampires versus werewolves. Mm.
Like who would win in a fight?
I think just the pro.
Or like who's better?
Which
who's
is better?
Better
I well, think. Like context is everything. Because if we're talking about like Remus Lupin from Harry Potter, like he always wins.
That's
right?
A good point.
He's a really great werewolf.
Yeah. They were lucky to get him on their team.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, I really like that J.K. Rowling didn't even put vampires in her book. She was like,
except for that teacher who was it who like traveled and then had like
oh yeah, there was like one vampire
in the sixth
teacher.
Book in
I don't remember.
Yeah
I'm read them
sorry.
All I read them all
no no they're
no,
great
no, no. Which
they're
teacher great.
Oh, Horace Slughorn had a party and like his this guy like was traveling and brought
his vampire. yes
David's so happy right now.
No, yeah.
David's a huge Harry Potter guy.
I'm sorry, but back to vampires and werewolves.
No, yeah. I mean, I guess it because the immediate thing that you go to is is Twilight, which I never read or saw. But,
of course not.
You know.
And that's vampires?
Yeah.
That's vampires. Well,
and werewolves.
Twilight
is vampires versus
ooh, wait. Joe Manganiello played a werewolf on True Blood.
Oh, he wasn't a vampire?
No, he was a werewolf.
Well, we know it wins. That wins.
Right alone? We're going to give... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some sexy vampires.
Well, but let's just go with what we know typically about them instead of like let's not think of
specific.
A celebrity.
Okay.
They also seem a vampire seems very angsty in a way that would get annoying. And werewolves like
it's only once a month too.
Yeah, it's only once a month. Like if you can sync up with your werewolf lover, then you just leave each other alone for a couple of days.
God, or like, you don't mess. Leave each other alone.
Hopefully it lines up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's got to be hot. Werewolf and period sex?
Right. Ew, that sounds like a nightmare.
No, it sounds great.
You'd be really into it.
Yeah. You're like, you don't know if the blood's from like the rabbit he just murdered.
picturing the hair getting all bloody. I hate it.
Oh yeah, Tess doesn't like hair. You wouldn't like them. Nah. And vampires are very hairless.
They seem very hairless.
My only thing is though, I also hate like veins. So do I have to be a vampire?
No, I think this is like...
No, they wouldn't make you a vampire, but I think they would suck your blood. Like, they can suck your blood, but not make you a vampire.
What? That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, how do they do that? You're a vampire, right?
Without
the amount that they take. It's the amount of blood that they
take. No, that is not true.
I've watched most of True Blood. It's very true.
Really?
Yeah, because there's like vampire groupies.
I feel like that goes against all the vampire
rules. If there's any vampires listening, please... Right, and let us know.
I watched True Blood. I know this is true. It's a thing. They're called things. There's like vampire groupies. If they drink a little bit of your blood, you're not a vampire. But if they go for it, because they can drink some, they can kill you or they can make you one.
Okay, I'm going to be a werewolf.
By putting their blood inside of you is how they make you a vampire.
I don't want to get bit at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Deal breaker. I'm a werewolf.
We solved that one.
Yeah. Do werewolves live forever, though, like vampires supposed to do? Unless
I think maybe just long. I don't think they're immortal.
What's always like nitpicky rules in the vampire werewolf world that I didn't know about?
You didn't know about all these? It's like what?
I mean, if you eat garlic, you die, right?
You can't see your reflection if you're a vampire.
You have to be invited into the house. I mean, imagine if you're a werewolf,
like, you'd be busted all the time. You would have no idea what you look like.
Yeah. Joe Manganiello, I'm a werewolf.
All right. Are we all werewolves?
I don't know, Jessica.
How do you feel? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like blood.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to drink it. I'm good.
I definitely don't want to drink it. I just like heard the martini glass of blood in your hand when you said it.
Okay. Eyes closed or open?
During what?
Whatever.
Like in life?
Yeah.
However, I love sleep.
Me too.
But I love, like, eyes are the best part of human beings, I think. You know, like, they're beautiful. Yeah. And, like, the world is beautiful. You're like, you're so dumb.
No, I'm I am, like, really questioning this for myself.
You took it to a very profound place immediately. I like it.
I mean, open. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
If you're orgasming, which is what I assume it kind of was about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Usually eyes are
closed. Are these all about orgasms?
All of these. Werewolf versus vampire.
Okay. Yeah, these are funny topics
hamburger
for high school.
Versus cheeseburger. Okay.
Yeah. Wait, I don't know if my eyes like, are closed or rolled back when I orgasm.
I will say that my orgasm with someone and without them is very different.
Mm.
If I'm alone, it's just like, I think I like look absolutely insane.
Only if you're alone?
Well, I think I just like, there's no, you're like, you know, there's nothing, nobody to make appearances for or whatever.
Yeah. But
it's
like, whistles.
It's like real weird.
It's real weird.
Yeah. I don't think anyone.
That's when I'm an alien.
I don't think anyone looks good when they come alone.
No, nobody does.
No.
It's just a thing.
I think everybody looks good when they come alone. Another great campaign.
Yeah. So many treasures from tonight, you guys.
But if I'm watching, eyes open for all of it.
Making direct eye contact.
No, I was just thinking watching them. But yeah, eyes open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if this one makes no sense? What if there was no Harry Potter? I know. I'm sorry.
That face.
David's face.
You guys, at one point there wasn't.
You guys, listen, this is what prepared us for fascism, though. Hello. Like, we lived through it because we read Harry Potter. Like, we have the tools. We got it. We're in the rebellion phase. We're like Dumbledore's fucking army. And that's fine to say.
Absolutely.
And, like, we're going at it. We're taking on all the Dementors, all the, you know, dark wizard shit. It's happening.
Which one is Steve Bannon?
Who?
He's one of the Horcruxes, I think. He's one of Voldemort's Horcruxes.
He's one of his Horcruxes. Like, he's his part of his soul.
He's Nagini.
Nagini.
Wait. Are the Horcruxes the thing that, like, are your animal?
No.
I mean, really, he is more Voldemort. It's like Trump is almost like
Quirrell.
Yeah, Quirrell, or one of the people in the ministry that get confunded and get taken over by the Imperius Curse. You know, he's just like a puppet.
Yeah.
He's just the figurehead.
No puppet. You're the puppet.
You're the puppet. God.
It's almost like he's a bit Umbridge in that way.
Yeah, he's like a lot of
toad. He's such a toad.
Yes.
Yeah. We just need to get him in pink.
Yeah. We can make it happen. Get some Photoshop.
Yeah, what if there is no Harry Potter? Next.
We don't have to answer this one, but I'll just say it's on her. Should girls be allowed to wrestle? Okay. go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm. Girls can do whatever they want. Buzzle.com quiz.
Wow, we stumbled across something sexist on the internet. All right, is it time to go to break? Oh no, okay. I thought you twirled your finger.
15 minutes of fame or behind the scenes?
Behind the scenes.
Yeah?
For sure.
Cool.
Is that what you did when you were in theater?
No, I was an actor first and then producer-director, but like behind the scenes is where all the shit gets done.
Right.
Yeah. Like 15 minutes of fame, what is that? No one remembers that, but the behind the scenes work lives on. Sorry, yeah. I keep getting fucking profound.
Drink your tea, Jessica.
Sorry, I keep getting
profound.
Hilarious.
I mean, that's kind of where I end up seeing myself eventually. You know, it's like I wouldn't want to be in front of the camera forever.
Hmm.
You know, like you have more power making stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's way more fun.
I mean, nobody wants 15 minutes of it. That's the thing. It's like, that sounds like a nightmare in every aspect because.
Does it?
Yes. Because, like, then you're. If that's what you had and like the one hit wonder thing doesn't seem super appealing because if you're always struggling after that to get back to that point.
But what if you're not? Like, what if you just take your one hit wonder money and then you just like.
And who has done that?
Very few people do that.
Yeah.
So. I bet like.
I mean, those people I feel like are still. Those are the guys who play casinos.
I bet AHA.
But they're not one hit wonders. Oh, yeah, they are. Never mind.
Yeah.
But those are the guys that.
I was thinking of a different
no, but those are the guys who like play casino. You see ads for playing casinos and it's like kind of sad, you know.
It's sad, but I would rather be 15 minutes famous than never famous at all.
You know, and you have the power to make a different choice than everyone who came before you, so you could take that 15 minute money and you could go, you know, rest on a beach and like be real good.
Exactly. Like, if you invest the 15 money, and then, like, it's almost nice because, like, you get to slide into obscurity knowing, like, that you're not missing anything.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
I just feel like it wouldn't be good because I'd be scrambling for that again.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
I would just
be
like, oh, I'm good.
We'd both go full on Baby Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys
there's no question. We're kidding.
But even that sounds kind of fun. Just plastic surgery and drink myself into oblivion.
Yeah. I mean, there is a 50-50 chance that that's my future. So I'm not going to deny that.
As long as we have a pool, a floaty.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, these days, I don't think it's as easy to be like a luxurious failed person these days. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's not in the cards as much.
Okay, you know what we have to do before this happens is like make a plan. Like, we need to buy property somewhere reasonable.
Oh, like, sure, I'm in.
Like Michigan. We gotta buy a house in like Michigan.
What about like Flint, Michigan? Like, property around there.
Oh, too soon. Oh, Flint.
I know. It's horrible.
You can buy land cheap in LA still.
What? Where?
No, like undeveloped land in LA is actually cheap.
Sorry.
My butt around the corner?
My butt is not cheap, Babs.
No, like land is actually pretty cheap out here because like this is the thing. Developers want to put up big houses or like big like multi-unit buildings. So like land that's without a house on it is still relatively cheap compared to a lot of other places. Hmm. And like if you put in like storage container homes or things like that, like you can buy and put a house on like property in LA for under $350,000 still. It's absolutely possible.
I'm in.
It's absolutely possible. And the thing is,
that's not cheap though.
No, compared to what people think LA is.
Right.
Yeah,
and compared to a lot of other places in the country, it's like a lot of cities on par.
I hear about people who are like, I just got a 6-bedroom house for $150,000. I mean,
but like where?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
No, yeah, no, but that's like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, which is what my plan is for going into oblivion. All right. If you're going into oblivion, you got to stretch it out somewhere as cheap as possible.
That's fair enough.
I don't know. I'm just going to find a man with a fucking bomb shelter.
Good plan. Actually, that is a good plan.
Thank you.
Go up to the Bay Area and find one of those crazy millionaires.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The ones that are going to Australia.
Jessica, did you see this article?
Yeah.
It's insane. It's like the New York Post. Is that what it was in, Tess?
New Yorker.
Yeah, the New Yorker. Oh. And it's this crazy article about how all the Silicon Valley guys are all like multi-billionaire preppers. And they're like getting really into it.
They have helicopters gassed up, ready to go.
Like doomsday preppers. They're all like buying up land in like New Zealand.
They have nothing else to do with their lives.
Yeah.
New Zealand's going to be the first one underwater.
You think
climate change.
Yeah.
Well, No, the Maldives will be first, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like,
yeah. They'll have their helicopter. They'll be fine. They'll just, right, they'll just hop somewhere else.
Hop in the air.
Yeah. They've got like gassed up helicopters. There's this one like old nuclear silo in the middle of like Salina, Kansas that like this one guy bought up and he put in all of these like really nice condos in. So, and because it's like nuclear enforced, if anything happens, but like, all of these millionaires bought apartments in this condo.
That's so scary. That's like it's at the crazy end of The Big Short when you find out that they're buying up aquifers, mm-hmm, and the guy who like understood that the banks were going to collapse like is like investing in money now.
Of
like,
course.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're all like getting bitcoins and stuff. And I get so mad. Like,
okay, bitcoins, I guess. Do you guys know that we can get them if we want?
Yeah, anybody can.
There's a bar that I do a...
But they still exist. I thought they weren't around anymore.
No, they're trying to bring them back.
Yeah, there's like a machine. There's a machine at this bar that I open for burlesque at sometimes that you can buy them at.
No way.
It looks like the shadiest thing ever.
What is it? Doesn't not a real thing, right? It's just like
I didn't buy
all
one.
I know is that when I wanted to gamble on the Super Bowl, I had to do it in bitcoins
because it's like illegal.
Yeah, all the gamblers are taking bitcoin now.
Right. Huh. But it's not a physical thing, right?
No. Yeah, it's, okay. It's not even like U.S. currency. It's like international currency.
Yeah.
Which is
there's a lot
cool.
of creeps out there using it for bad shit, and I just can't.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, there. I know.
It's for like when
that's
you don't
like the
want money.
Deep
trades.
Web shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's getting more mainstream. I bet you anything Bitcoin will.
Well, of course it is, because everyone's terrified because money is going to mean nothing in a minute. So it's like, yeah.
That's why we need UBI. Like, universal basic income is like the best option I think we have with like automation upon us.
You know? Yeah. What is UBI?
Universal basic income is basically like a stipend per month. So it'd be like we would get $2,000 a month mm-hmm. from the government, which would basically fund our lives, our basic necessities. Like, mm-hmm. so you can choose to work and make more money. But because automation is coming upon us and we're not going to have the same jobs anymore, I think it's great. I think we're going to squander the opportunity because we're fearful and
of course we're
greedy.
We're so capitalistic and like everyone be like, what? Yeah. What does that mean?
Did you see who was it? Jackman posted it. Nancy Pelosi in the town hall.
Oh, the capitalist
thing?
She's like, baby, we're capitalists.
And I was like, oh, we got to get you out, girl.
Oh,
like, no
it.
More.
It's an insane video. It's just this college student asking her basically like, so a lot of people my age are, you know, we're seeing the benefits of thinking about a socialist society and everything. And she goes, well, first of all, we're capitalists. And like you heard the head pat in the way that she says it is like, it's an insane clip.
Yeah. Oh.
And then she like, the way she just talks
about Adam Smith and the invisible hand. And we're like,
yeah. It's pretty funny. Oh man.
I just have to say that I found another, This quiz that we found on Buzzle is getting a little creepy because I know we saw the wrestler things get past it. This one just blatantly says the advantages women think there are of being a man.
It really went downhill from when there was no Harry Potter.
Yeah. That's literally just thrown in here.
It's like not a question.
No, not just.
Can you say it one more time?
The advantages women think there are of being a man. So,
male privilege. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't, privilege. What debate? What the fuck are they? Some men's rights dude got in here. Okay, this one's actually good. Yes. Being a realist versus being an optimist. That one's it. I mean, I think we all have to tread the line of both, right? I don't know how to be either one. Oh, God.
Barbara, your phone.
I know. It's so dead. It was fine until a week ago, and then.
Oh. Yeah, I think treading both is important. You know, because like you can look towards the future, but also not be like, you can't have your head all the way up in the clouds all the time. You have to see what's possible and work towards that. Have something, have a long term goal, but being realist is like a short-term.
I mean, it's like living, like doing this career, doing a comedy or, you know, entertainment careers, you have to be both because it's like you have to be optimistic enough to be like, yeah, I can do this. Sure. Yeah. This will happen for me someday, but also realistic enough to be like, oh, this takes for fucking ever. And you know what? Yeah, maybe it won't work out. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably like, I'm sure the viewer's probably just like optimistic. Oh, I'm going to run for something. And then like, if you're a realist, you're like, well, these are the ways that you do such a thing. Right. It's like you fill in the blanks on the way to something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But without optimism, I would have never run, I guess. There's that fun quote. That's like the opportunity, like the realist sees it just as a glass of water. The opportunist sees like that there's more water to be filled. The whoever's negative doesn't think that there's enough of it. And then while they were all arguing, the opportunist like drank the glass of water. You know what I mean? Like, and I really like that because it's like, you know what? Just like,
yeah,
move forward with compassion, grace, and do your best.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I like, I appreciate realism.
I just really like, I like everything you say. I know, that's why I get too. All quiet because I'm just taking it in.
I know.
So you're doing great. Don't be weird. You're doing great.
Yeah, I think I am too optimistic. It's like my default. Like every day I expect to get fun mail.
That's really?
Like, yeah, every day I expect to get fun mail.
Well, I've been a super capitalist bitch lately, and I've been getting fun mail constantly.
Because my
stress is coming out in shopping form.
What's fun mail?
She just likes stuff that's not bills.
Oh. Yeah. It could be like, I really love the holidays because then I get a lot of cards. Aww. But shout out to my friend Steven, sends me letters sometimes.
Aww. Oh, that's cool.
Sweet. Yeah. But yeah, handwritten letters are ideal. Cards. Yeah. That kind of thing is fun mail. But I only get it in checks, of course, are the ultimate fun mail.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The ultimate fun mail. Yeah.
Put a smiley in that memo line and I'm done.
Oh my God. Okay, I'll just go out. We'll just end on this last gem that I found on this quiz. Just a random pick. Geez. Girls are weird when they are PMSing.
We are back. I'm Tess.
I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
And we're here with Jessica Salins.
Hey.
Hello. Jessica, you want to help us give some advice to someone?
Yeah, let's do it.
Great.
She wasn't
her face is amazing.
Lady problems. Lady.
Is this you guys?
Lady problems.
Oh, yeah.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems.
Tess is such a great whisperer.
Oh my God, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm the Tess whisperer. Just kidding, I'm not good at whispering to myself. All right, lady problem. I'm 21 and from a small town in Maine. I live with my parents and I'm going to my dream college, UNE, for chemistry. And my problem is that many people my age, my parents voted for, that as many people my age, my parents voted for Trump. And I am a diehard liberal and I'm lesbian. This environment is very toxic, not to mention my mom is crazy. Like breaking things, going on psychotic episodes. Ooh. I truly think she's bipolar. She has extreme anger issues to the point that I have cried more times now than when I was in high school.
Oh.
I know I need to move out, but there is no option. They are helping me pay for college, and although I will have to pay them back, I'm not paying rent. I only have $300 to my name. I have this really amazing girlfriend, though, and my parents even like her. I've only been out about a year, and this is my first relationship, but it's amazing, and eventually we want to move in together. But that won't be until she's out of college, and hopefully I would only have a semester left. So my problem is that my parents voted for Trump, knowing well that I opposed him and that I was scared of what he would do. They didn't take me seriously at all, and the day after the election, I woke up and immediately was in tears. Mm. I cried for over an hour, and my mom cried with me not realizing how much this meant to me. My girlfriend was up all night freaking out, too. Even though in that one moment you regretted voting for him, she still backs everything he is doing, and I can't stop myself from commenting on how awful the things he's doing are now, especially now that he's doing things. I feel like voting for him was a personal attack on me, and I can't wrap my brain around this. And I truly believe that the people that voted for him have zero empathy for anyone other than themselves. Mm. Point is, my living situation is very hostile and can shift very drastically at any moment. I don't know what I should do. My girlfriend lives with her two best friends, but they only have a two-bedroom, and they jam two bunk beds into one room. So they all live in one room. There isn't the possibility to spend nights there. And my friends don't have room, and I need a place to study, not to mention my parents were very vocal against gay marriage rights when I was in middle school. So I have thrown that in their faces about me like 13 and basically saying that I have no rights to marriage or equality.
God.
Yeah. I know you may not read this on the podcast. Guess what we did? all right. Happy Wednesday.
Oh, God, my heart is breaking.
No.
There's so many things in there.
I know.
That's so much that she's dealing with. What's her name?
Her name she didn't give.
She's 21.
Yeah. Gal, first of all, like, give yourself some, like big time grace and applause for your own self for just, like, still living and having, like hope to continue forward and like going to school to study something that so many people don't. Like, you're a badass, first of all. Congratulations. So much, right?
Absolutely.
Like, the first thing that comes into my head is like, you're going to a college and you have an opportunity to find a group of people that align exactly with how you think and feel. And it doesn't sound like right now your focus needs to be on trying to change your parents, but rather finding the space to just deal while you're in this situation as best as possible. It's going to be hard, but it will be made easier if you can find a tribe. What I mean by that is like a group of friends or a study class or something on your college that you can really connect with and vent out all your stuff there, so that when you do go home, you're dealing with, like, you can strip away so much of the hurt and anger that you've been faced with and really get at the parts where, because it sounds like your mom does love you and does care about you, that she cried with you, even though she doesn't understand. So if you can find a space to vent and be your full, complete, unapologetic self with, and then have to go home and just deal with that, it might be easier to so either ignore or forgive. And that's going to be your own journey, is forgiving the stuff that your parents, and slowly but surely pulling that away with them. But that's my first thought.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I think finding your new community at school is obviously is going to be huge, because you're going to have, it sounds like you don't really have the option yet to move out for now, which I think would probably try to be our advice, or maybe somebody who's a little bit older, you could get another job or something, but it doesn't sound like it's really an option right now. So yeah, I think finding an outlet outside of home is really smart, because that's just so hard. I'm going through something somewhat similar. I don't live at home anymore, so it's very different, but I'm not speaking to my parents. Wow. And that's never happened to me before. And, you know, it's all because of Trump and, you know, similar situation.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's just the worst. It's just so heartbreaking to think that the people you love don't feel the same way about basic, like, moral things that you feel is a personal attack, you know? And so that's, I think, I just talked to my therapist about this today, but she said, she was just kind of like, you know, this is your time to, like, really, this is, you're becoming your own person. Like, you can't be tied to them. They are, you know, separate from you. And this is your time to realize that, like, they're not perfect. They're going to have their own opinions, and they don't have to be yours, and you don't have to adjust to be what they want you to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the silver lining, and there are some silver linings and all the bullshit that's fucking happened, is that there are so many people who are, like, so passionate, and you can find them more easily. So I think finding those people to be with as much as you humanly can, like, literally only go home from, like, midnight to, like, 6 a.m. and then get the fuck out.
And find a therapist or a guidance counselor too on campus.
Absolutely. There's probably someone at school. And, like, I know you're in a relationship, but I think it's also important to socialize outside of your girlfriend.
Right.
Like, I think that it's easy to have that crutch, especially in college. I don't know. It's like you have a built-in person to hang out with. So, like, challenge yourself to, join a club, or, like, just try to find other people that you're going to school with that maybe you can start to build an even broader social network with.
Definitely. And I think there's also some room to, like you say in here, like, I think a lot of people that voted for Trump, they have a hard time with abstract empathy.
Yes.
Where it's, unless they see something right in front of their faces, they have a hard time realizing that it's real and knowing how to extend empathy towards it. And, you know, you say here with, like, your parents when you were in middle school were against gay marriage, and they vocalized that. But then you also say in your letter that they really like your girlfriend. Maybe they never had somebody that they knew was gay in their life. And I'm not saying you need to get into an argument with them, but, like, you know, they like you, they like your girlfriend. Your presence in their life is maybe changing their mind without you needing to argue with them about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't bring it up until, you know, things advance with you guys. But, like, it's hard to, like, extending somebody empathy is also not a seal of approval. And I think that's an important thing to do to people that whose hearts are in the right place, but were very misled in this election in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think it's like, oh man, I don't want to understand exactly how you, I want to understand kind of how you got here. What is going on? Especially when it's apparent, to be like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the root of the hurt that happened to you to take you to this place? Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of it comes from. And that's a really hard thing to do without, you know,
this was such a personal thing. You know, this election felt really personal. I mean, I know my dad voted for Trump, and I have a really hard time with it.
Yeah, it's it's hard not to take it personally, because it's not really like a politics issue at this point. It's like
it's a decency. It's a basic human decency.
Yeah. Because of the things that were so, you know, mainstream. I mean, you know, the reporter thing alone. Yeah. I always cite that as my thing. Yeah. Where it's like,
there's countless things.
Well, there's countless things like that. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I think a big part of that, too, is also like the thing that I've been kind of trying to mull over and think about a lot is that, like, I think Trump winning is a symptom of how much abuse is in this country that isn't talked about, because there are a lot of people in this country that their spouses or their family has treated them the way that Trump treats them, the way that Trump backs their entire lives. And if they're in a situation where they can't get out, or that's the only way they've been treated, then he's not different. He's just the way it is. But if you acknowledge that he's a monster, then you have to acknowledge that everybody in your life is a monster. Mm-hmm. And that's a very real thing that happens to a lot of people in this country. I mean, like, there's really bad situations all over the place. And, you know, wives that are married to guys that are like him, that whose every boyfriend they've ever had is like that guy. And, oh shit, I've wasted my entire life. If I admit that guy's a monster, then everybody's a monster.
Right. Yeah.
And like I said, that's I can extend empathy to those people, because, like, to understand that is to figure out how to work backwards to fix that in the future. Mm. And it's not saying I give you a pass, because I don't give any of them a pass for it. But I think it's important to understand how that happened, because, like, to get to the base of the problem is
it's, I think it's hard. It's getting, the hard part is that it not only happened, the election, but, like, the aftermath of people still sticking with being okay that they voted for him after every single day is a living nightmare. It's just hard.
Yeah. There's a lot of fear and ego, I think, in those things, completely. Where it's like, if you make such a bold choice and stance and then it fires back in your face, like, to have the humility and be humble to say, like, oh, I was wrong, you know, and even, like, and I know this can be divisive and I don't mean it to, but when we were fighting for Bernie and we were saying, like, we're seeing the polls and we're seeing that he has a better chance against Trump than Hillary does, and trying to tell people that, and then seeing, and then, like, having in retrospect some people in my life saying, like, oh, like, I didn't see it then, which is fine. It's not saying that, like, he would have won or whatever, but, like, because we don't know, but.
The ego,
just, like, a humility that I think is missing from a lot of
I will say, I think especially on the conservative end, the humility absolutely is hard to come by.
Yeah,
absolutely.
When that guy is running the show.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I wish I had a more distanced way of viewing it. But it's as these things are happening, and it's like, okay, fine, you got misled, but, like, still, like, this is becoming a national emergency. People's lives are on the line. Like, please let go of, like, your fucking political beliefs. This isn't about politics.
No, no. Yeah.
This isn't about, I mean, like, you're...
This is about our country's, like, future.
Yeah.
Everything crumbling.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Shit. I think as far as, like, the mom, that's obviously extremely hard, too, if she has mental health problems.
Yeah.
And I think, again, find a counselor at your school and talk to them, because
I forgot about the mom.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing
to deal with.
She really does just need to move out. I wonder how much school she has left.
She's 21.
It does. Yeah, it sounds like she's. I would try to make some kind of plan.
It's tough to work enough to make rent while you're in school.
It is. It's really hard. It's like, all this stuff is like, I think, try and see if the school will have advisors, like a financial advisor, somebody who can, like, maybe get you on a budget to get you out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would definitely, like, if you have, maybe you already have, but, like, explore if there's some kind of, like, a work study situation where you could, like, maybe get housing on campus if you, you know, work at the library or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Might be worth exploring.
Yeah.
And also, maybe there's a family member that you can connect with more than your parents that can talk to your mom about any mental health issues she has, because that's a whole, like the gals are saying, like, that's a whole other thing to
and as a kid addressing it, it's not,
really difficult. Yeah. And it's not your job.
No.
But yeah, I mean, like Jessica said, like, good for you for, you know, kicking ass and studying chemistry and just being like a badass who's not willing to back down from your beliefs, because I think that is, like, really important right now. And we all need to, like, be strong in our beliefs and remember that, like, you know, we are, I think, on the right side of history here. And
yeah.
And it's gonna, progress wins, but yes. We have to keep pushing.
Yes. Know? Absolutely. And maybe see if there's some, like, cool local political stuff happening.
Oh my God. Maine is doing some really cool stuff, gal. Maybe not in your locality, but Maine in general is pushing for a lot of progressive things right now. They're pulling up.
Oh, awesome.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Cool. Maybe that's a place to, like, you know,
get involved in a
counteract
campaign.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's been really helpful for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Eat bananas and drink coconut water.
self-care.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And keep us informed. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Thanks for writing to us too. I mean, mm-hmm. it means a lot when people, like, you know, reach out to us with this kind of stuff.
Courage.
It's not very small life events happening. So yeah. It means a lot that you would do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Jessica, where can everybody find you online and, like, find everything out about you?
Yeah. Well, I was also going to offer this gal, like, if you just want to find me on Facebook, there, I have a lot of teammates that, are gay and have been going through really hard things with their parents and just that relationship. And they're a little bit older and I think might be able to offer some guidance and I would love to connect you with them. Mm. And I know that they would love to connect with you. So if you just want to find me and friend me on Facebook, Jessica Salins, S-A-L-A-N-S. As far as the campaign, we're under Jessica Salins for Los Angeles City Council District 13. And online under salins2017.com.
Cool.
Jessica, thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh my gosh, thank
you.
This is
so informative and inspiring.
Yeah, March 7th, you guys, if you're in District 13, get out there.
Get
vote.
Out there.
Any district in Los Angeles, but especially if you're in 13,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Come on out and vote for Jessica.
Yeah.
I'll throw
wear your Lady to Lady pin with your I voted.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we have to give you one. Yeah.
We can grab one.
And if you want to buy one, go to ladytoladycomedy.com.
Yeah. Wait for Valentine's Day.
Okay. Thanks.
Y'all.
Bye, guys.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as $1 a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.